This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
One of the great performances that we have ever seen.
Kevin's got to come up and get the ball if he wants it.
He does. He comes all the way to Harden, steps to the three-point line, shoots for three, and drilled it.
I was just trying to win each possession.
Historic, historic performance.
Durant again! This time off the right angle, a deep three.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game.
Special performance by him. Credit to him.
And the Brooklyn Nets take a 3-2 lead in this best-of-seven series.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
We witnessed greatness last night. It is the 7 o'clock hour of DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Really, I mean, when you think, honestly, you know what would be great for Don today, Rick? Is for him to do the Daily Don with the top five performances in single games in New York sports history. And I think that it's fair to say that performance would be in the top five right now.
Depends on if he has time. I mean, he went out and played some frisbee golf yesterday with the... It's amazing.
Some frolf?
It was amazing. So he was supposed to do something with his wife and his kids the prior day, right? They were supposed to... I guess there was some guy that was playing the guitar or whatever, but it got rained out, so it got pushed to yesterday. And then he has to do the Islanders pregame, right? Because he agreed to do that. So it was conflicting, so he couldn't go with his wife and his kids. But he had that hour between the K-show ending and him doing the pregame. So rather than like just relax for a minute before he has to do the pregame show, he went out and played frisbee golf with his neighbor.
Well, here's why I'm going to get divorced.
Yes. He's the best. He is, I mean, as special as you are, I think Don's got to be, I mean, he's right
there. He's equally special. He is equally special. So would you not agree that the Daily Don, Chris, today has to be top performances in New York sports history by individual players?
Absolutely, David. Absolutely has to be. And I know you're the biggest Giants fan that's out there, Dave. Don't you feel like you have to have Eli Manning on that list, too?
Yes, but here's the thing.
Mm.
Those drives were phenomenal, right?
Okay.
The drive at the end of both Patriots games. In the game, Eli was... It's not like his performance was otherworldly. Yeah, I think you could have Eli.
I don't know
there.
About that, Dave. I don't know. I mean, the playoff game in Green Bay in our 2011
the Niners
run.
Game.
The Niners game. The Niners game the week after that. I mean, those were two pretty damn good performances.
All
by
right,
Eli
listen. That's fine. You're not going to sell me on it hard.
How about the Giants wide receivers in that Green Bay playoff game?
Phenomenal. I think Phil Sims is Super Bowl performance. Yeah. You're a bad guy.
What?
Giants have had
don't
so
even
many
start.
Great moments, and you have to bring that up.
That because that boat trip. You know what happened after that boat trip.
I hated that. When I watched Odell running around the field with no shirt on before the game, I was like, this is going to be bad. And he was awful in that game.
No, all the wide receivers were terrible in that game. I think Messier, you mentioned Messier earlier in the
Messier,
show. That has to be there.
Phil Sims in the Super Bowl, Walt Clyde Frazier, maybe there's another one, and I think Kevin Durant is now on that Mount Rushmore.
So, Dave, you're talking about postseason performances that resulted in those teams winning a chip. If Kevin Durant and the Nets don't finish the drill, does that change his performance being on the list or where it's at on the list?
It's a great question.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, about his performance, though. It's the greatest performance statistically we've seen in NBA postseason history.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen anyone go, 45 plus, 15 and 10. It's never happened before. Dave, you meant Walt Clyde's got to be up. Clyde's got to be on that list, too.
I put him there.
I have
Clyde. I have Sims. I have Messier. If you guys want to put an Eli there.
I think you got to put Namath. I mean,
but come on.
Eli has to be there.
But name it, he wasn't even that
good.
But
he guaranteed it, though. Yeah, but he guaranteed it.
So if you guarantee it and it happens, you go on the list?
I don't know. That's so much pressure on yourself. In New York, you guarantee it. All the stuff you got going off the field.
But look at what he did in that game.
Legs were heavy after whatever he did the night before.
I think he had constant heavy legs.
I would like to sit down for... You asked me dinner guests? I would consider putting Namath on the list for dinner guests.
How about Jeter?
Mind-boggling.
Man, now I just look like a sick creep, though, if that's the only bit. I'm like, so who's at your table? Yeah, give me Wilt,
yeah.
Cheater.
you really are. You and Dr. Ruth have the same guest at your dinner table.
You're looking for the right way to do the wrong thing. If yeah, you got people those like, guys I'd like,
yeah, give me Jesus. And I'm like, no, give me Wilt, yeah. Cheater. That's a bad. Yeah, I got a problem. I do.
Joe Namath was 17 of 28 for 206 yards. No touchdowns and no interceptions in that game.
No.
But he guaranteed it, though.
No,
he's probably not on the list, but I still, to have the cojones to guarantee a win like that, and your team goes out and win, that's pretty special.
Dave, in Super Bowl 46, Eli Manning, 30 of 40, 296 yards, a touchdown, no interception, and oh, by the way, that throw to Mario Manning.
Yeah, maybe the
greatest
throw
on the game-winning drive.
Seen.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a dime. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Nice. Do you think it's a disservice if Don doesn't make that his list today?
Yeah.
Like it has to
be? It's a dereliction of duty. I mean, listen, you got to trust the speakers. And I mean, that's at that point, that's got to be coming out of there. 2:45, I'm dialed in to listen to this list. You know what my favorite part about the game last night, too, was? Because I could imagine I'd be the same way, was the hug that Steve Nash put on Kevin Durant.
Oh,
like, oh, thank God you're on
that
my
was
team.
Like a thank you. I love you. Yes. Thank you. Right?
Thank you.
You're my savior. Let's go to Steve in the car. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Hi, guys. I think you're great. I can't really hear you, but I think you're the baseball one. Either Don Larson or Reggie Jackson's 3 home runs.
Yep. You're right. That's right. Perfect game in the World Series. 100% right.
Can you imagine that a perfect game
runs.
In the World Series?
No. No, I can't imagine that.
That's insane. I'll tell you what, though.
What are you taking out then?
Yeah, that you sound like Don. What are you taking out? You know
no,
what
but
other
really,
one too?
Because you, you, have to have you have to have Larson. Yeah, I think you have to have Reggie. You have to have Messier.
I think you got to have
Durant.
Don't you have to have Clyde?
And Clyde. I don't. Guys, you know I love Eli and I love the Giants more than anything on earth. But I don't think I'm putting Eli on the list.
Wow. That's.
No, but that was in the Super Bowl, though, Dave.
That's what I'm saying. That's yeah,
but,
in the biggest
but
moment.
But Clyde was game 7. Messier
he's on.
Messier was if they lose that game, they're done, and 54 years becomes God knows how long. Larson was in the World Series.
I think he's
got to
be on.
Reggie's in the World Series. So do you not put Durant on it then?
I mean, that's why it's a tough list. That's why it's Don's list. He's going to have to figure it out. I mean, what if Matt Harvey goes out in the ninth inning and strikes out the side in that World Series?
Do they come back and win it from down 3-1, though?
No. What do you mean? Oh, they come back and win the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, no.
So if they come back and win it, then yes. But if they lose in game 6, I don't know that I put that on the list.
Yeah, but you said, but it's just a single game performance. I mean, he's not pitching the next game. He goes out and pitches that way, a complete game. Come on.
I'm not saying he's not worthy of consideration, but I don't.
They still haunt me. I'm trying to pump him up a little bit after what happened last night again.
Yeah.
He's not trending in the right direction.
He is struggling. Greg in Piscataway. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I think that we're jumping the gun a little bit here. It's a second-round playoff performance. He put up 49 points. He had a great performance, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't an elimination game. And it's not the Hall of Fame on the court. I mean, James Harden was hurt, but I think it's a little ridiculous.
Really? I mean, they lose that game. They were the prohibitive favorites. Most people didn't expect him to win. He gives you a performance for the ages. You don't think
it was essentially an elimination game.
You remember that game?
Stop. I mean, that's essentially an elimination game.
It's a second round game.
Well, you
got to
get through the second round and win a championship, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not game 7.
It might as well have been. You think they're going? They lose last night. You think they're going into Milwaukee and winning game 6,
and then coming back and winning game 7?
Okay. What if Harden comes back in game 6 and Kyrie's back in game 7?
What if? We don't know.
Yeah, but
I mean, you saw what James Harden looked like. I mean, that was not James Harden. I mean, that was in body, that was James Harden, but that wasn't, I mean, the player that we used to see in
the
James Harden.
Yeah, that was 35% James Harden last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good leg last night. Guy made one bucket. Come on, stop.
That's a bad take. Oh, there was just you were the huge favorites, to win this whole thing. You had a 2-0 lead where this series was on the verge of being over. Kyrie gets hurt. Harden can barely play. And he goes out there and plays every single minute, scores 49, 17, and 10. I'm sorry, that goes on one of my greatest New York moments ever.
I think it elevates to that legendary status, Dave, if the Brooklyn Nets win the championship. Like, if they don't, I think this will be a footnote when it comes to the greatest postseason performances, just because, I mean, we're always going to associate those performances leading to the team getting the ultimate prize. Like, I know that would be a little bit unfair, but that's just in our minds how we look at it as sports fans. Like, it's a great performance. We've never seen anything like this in NBA postseason history. But if the Nets don't win the chip, that won't be what we talk about, the game last night. It won't be.
What about, Dave, here's one. What about Doc, 1986, NLCS, Game 5?
Yeah, he was great in that, and they did win the series.
Pitched 10 innings in that game.
Yeah, no, he was great in that game. That didn't even jump off the plate to me, so I wouldn't put that there, but it was a great performance from Doc.
No, I mean, we got enough at this point where it's going to be tough to keep someone off the list.
It's a hard list, yeah.
That's a tough list.
It's a tough list.
Why are we calling it to diminish what Kevin Durant did last night? I don't understand this.
I don't know. It's a bad job. If you're calling in to diminish the greatness that he was last night, you could say, I don't think he's worthy of being on the list, but say, oh, it was just a game five and the second round of the postseason is a terrible way to attack this.
Well, you know who those people are, though, right, Dave? Those are Knicks fans that feel slighted by what Kevin Durant had to say about their team a couple of years ago when he decided to take Brooklyn over the Knicks. Like, that's what it was. So, I mean, they're always going to hate at every single turn or try to minimize what Kevin Durant accomplished. But, I mean, what he did last night, there's nothing that you can take away from his performance. I mean,
that was sensational.
It's a 50-point triple-double, Dave. I mean, you know, you don't see that every single day, let alone in the postseason in a game that Brooklyn absolutely had to win.
You've never seen it before.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, whether you have it at 1 or 4 or 7 or 10, whatever, that's up to you. But one of the great performances that we've ever seen in New York sports last night from one Kevin Durant. Here is Steve Nash on the Game 5. Is a great opportunity. Was a great job. A phenomenal job. That's the wrong day. So that's that. We're not going to play that because that's going into the game yesterday. I brought up the audio for the wrong day. Listen, I'm not perfect.
Nice audible, Dave. I like it.
It's 7:22 and 50 seconds. I'm sure by 7:23 and 12 seconds, that's ready to roll. And recycled. Here now, though, is Steve Nash on Kevin Durant's incredible Game 5 performance.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. Got to the line. 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, 49 points. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's able to do. You know, we know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies. We're wounded. And for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin. And it was beautiful to watch.
Dave, they couldn't stop him.
No.
I mean, they couldn't stop him. It didn't matter whether you got it to him in the mid-post, whether it was off the bounce. Like, there was nothing the Milwaukee Bucks could do to keep Kevin Durant from getting the shots that KD wanted. Like, there was one time where P.J. Tucker's on him, and then Brook Lopez steps up to try to wall him off to keep him out of the paint. He just goes around both of them for a layup at the basket. Like, it's just unbelievable how skilled Kevin Durant is, especially on the offensive end. I mean, there's nothing offensively that he can't do. I mean, this guy is unbelievable, and he put all of his gifts on display last night. That was an epic performance.
What makes it even crazier, too, is, and I know we talked about this earlier in the show, is when you also take into account where he came from off of that Achilles injury. Like, I mean, the question is, when that happened, like, I mean, you're trying to point
to
people.
Will he ever be the same guy again, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're grasping at straws to try to find, you know, especially at 7 feet tall. I mean, that's what makes him obviously unique. Like,
and his age, too.
in his age. Like, show me the guy who's come back and is, you know, as good as he was before he blew out his Achilles. I mean, there's not. I mean, it's a short list.
Yeah.
Right? And then
there's not a lot of guys that have come back from that level of injury. And this is, you know, if you do it, say you're an offensive lineman and you do it, and it's honestly no disrespect to them, but I mean, this is a guy that's running up and down the court and needs to use his feet and his ankles and his Achilles. Like, this is next level stuff, what we're seeing from him.
He played every minute of the game, too. Every second of that game he played last night. Can he, you know, can he make guys around him better? Can he facilitate an offense? He's got 10 assists.
The answer is yes. Question you had heading into the game yesterday, the answer is an emphatic yes, he can. Yeah, I mean, he absolutely can. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Let's go to our good buddy. Now, it says Spike in Jersey. Spike, have you returned back to Jersey now?
No, I have not. I mean, if I have to come up and help you with the dogs, I'll be happy.
No. But why does the call screener, was this a mistake by RJ, or did you tell him it's me, Spike in Jersey?
No, everything. He knows my voice. We always chat a little bit. It's just a force of habit. Michael does the same thing. He always says New Jersey once in a while. Throw it in. I got to tell you about last night's game. I've been fortunate in all my years on the planet, and you have them all right, boys. You have it all right. I saw Don Larson's perfect game. I ran home from school in 1956. KD's last night, and obviously Clyde's I was at. And what I saw last night, two athletes, James Harden playing 46 minutes on one leg, spacing the floor, doing the best he could, and Kevin Durant just accentuating brilliance. Brilliance. And, boy, I'll tell you, I said it on the K-Show real quick. Thanks for the time. I said you need 45 points out of Green, Blake Griffin, and Joe Harris. Durant will get 45. I couldn't get to 115. This is what I said. They got 114. I figured they'd need about 115 to win. And I'll tell you, I said, Giannis Antetokounmpo on the line, 4 out of 7 again. I mean, that's such a fatal flaw. Everyone misses free throws, but he's 56%. But I don't want to accentuate that. Kevin Durant, I will never forget that, whatever time I got left on the planet, never forget that performance. I never saw anything perfect. Phil Simms in the Super Bowl is right there also.
I mean, I guess the thing is, how often do you have the expectations, the bar set so high for a player in a postseason game, and then that player go out there and obliterate that? Like, I mean, usually it's set and the guy underwhelms in their performance. But, I mean, with everything that we knew about the Nets going into Game 5, Kevin Durant was going to have a huge performance. But, guys, he just went out there and gave us something that we never seen before. I mean, In our wildest dreams, we didn't think that Kevin Durant was going to go out there and play like that. Okay, maybe he's going to drop 40, 45 points. Okay, that's great. But a 50-point triple-double? Nobody saw that coming. Nobody. That's what makes it that much more. But that's what makes it that much more special, though. That to me, is what takes it to that next level.
I think it's all of it. I think it's the performance. I think it's how he shot. I mean, 70% from the field. How he defended. It's all of it. If you put the whole thing into context with where this team was at, I mean, what Harden looked like, no Kyrie, Game 5, all the momentum with Milwaukee. If they lose this game, they're probably going to lose the series in 6. All of it.
That was Michael Jordan. That's what they reminded me of. Just and we had so
Jordan
much conversation
six.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Of, well, can he carry? You know, he's always been the guy that's gone to these super teams, and now he's on a super team, but they're not there, and they're not healthy. And can he carry? Yes. Yes. Danny and Clifton. Good morning, Danny. You're on 98.7.
Listen, just a remarkable performance watching the thing. You know, I was watching it with my son last night. I'm a Knicks fan, of course, but you got to recognize brilliance when you see it. And please, absolutely no disrespect to Kevin. That was tremendous. I want to just comment on a point that Chris made. There has been some heroic performances over the years by teams who lost. Okay, Dominique Wilkins versus Larry Bird. I saw that as a young man. I'm 57 now, and I'll never forget it. 47 points. He lost. Larry beat him. Larry went on to win the championship. I saw Terrell Owens on one leg in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady.
Ball.
Nine catches. I mean, only one team wins a championship every year, guys. Only one team, no matter, you know, what all the stuff we talk about. There's still some losses that the heroic play by the athlete in the moment bears mentioning and remembering. And, you know, you don't just slough it off because that person didn't walk away with the championship. So that's my point. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, but Danny, I think in the moment, like in the moment of whatever happens in this series, right? Like you'll be, if they don't, you know, end up to get, I mean, get into at least the NBA Finals, like you'll be more focused on the fact that your team didn't get to the NBA Finals than, you know, that one Kevin Durant performance in the second round. Like you'll, like this, we'll spend more time, like if they go on to win a championship and they have the, you know, championship video, like
people
this,
will go back to this yes. moment. They this will moment. Go back to that. That will be like the Mario Manningham catch in Super Bowl 46 or the Plaxico Burress, not the Plaxico Burress, the David Tyree catch in Super Bowl 42. Like that will be the moment that Game 5 for the Brooklyn Nets was against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's what it'll be.
You're right. If they win the title, that last night's game is even more special. But regardless of what happens from here on out, that is a forever kind of game from last night.
I'm not saying that it's not a forever type of game, Dave. I'm just saying that when we start thinking about the all-time great performances, when we're years removed from this thing, that's not going to be the one of those that comes top of mind. You know why? Because the team didn't win the chip.
No,
and, it might be, and it might be unfair, and I think it probably would be unfair, but I don't think that that's one of those things that we'll remember, because the Brooklyn Nets from the 2020-2021 season will be remembered as a disappointment because the Big Three didn't deliver a championship.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All right, so at 8:10, we got Seth Greenberg.
Yeah.
8:30, Tom Glavine.
Yeah.
Love Tom Glavine. Great hockey player, Tom Glavine, by the way. He was actually drafted by the Kings higher than Luke Robitaille.
Yes.
It's a tasty little nugget. 9-10,
right. Maybe that'll repurpose and stump Rothenberg next week.
Nah, because you already know that one. You already know. That's an easy one. I actually got to present Tom Glavine a jersey at Shea.
Wait, you got a Tom Glavine jersey?
I presented him with one from the Islanders.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Because really he's a Boston guy, too, isn't he?
Really good dude, yeah. And then 9:30, we got the... You know, friend of the show, one Mike Tannenbaum.
Yep, Mike T. And lots of Kevin Durant. Yeah. Of course, yeah, go ahead, get it ready.
He's French.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Oui, oui.
Here is Steve Nash on the Game 5. Is a great opportunity. Was a great job, a phenomenal job. That's the wrong day. So that's... I like Santiago said to me over here, he goes, I didn't know where you were going with that. I didn't have that soundbite. Yeah, you didn't have it because I was looking at the show from yesterday's rundown. That's a bad job by me.
Couple today. Yeah, just today's as good as Stump Rothenberg was. There's been some
Do you understand what I'm after what I'm that Dante Bichette two-run single?
Dante, huh?
I don't think that's that bad. I think looking to play audio from the day before is bad. I think calling Bo Bichette Dante, it's his dad. I don't think that's a terrible misstep.
No, I just think it was a start. I mean, that's where it started. Then we went to you're calling for sound from yesterday, and then now we're off to French Durant. Kevin Durant.
He speaks French because he's from France.
I believe that him and Frank will be playing on the French national team.
The French national team. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. He could use a beret on that head right now, too, though.
Oh, dear. Leave him alone. Are you ready for a little giveaway? Giveaway time.
What is it?
Time to give your dad a Father's Day gift that he'll remember. Let the pros at Stock Car Racing Experience teach him how to drive a 600 horsepower, 160 mile per hour NASCAR on the 2.5 mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway. This is the real deal. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll score 2 6-lap stock car ride alongs. Brought to you by Stock Car Racing Experience at Pocono Raceway. Get behind the wheel and drive for only $299 or a shotgun seat ride starting at just $99. Gift vouchers are easy to order online with instant email delivery, and it never expires. Visit 877-STOCKCAR.com or call 877-786-2522.
You think you can bust, like if you're someone on the Nets, you think you can bust Kevin Durant's chops?
For his hair?
Or just anything? Like you think you could, like, is...
No, I think he's very serious. I don't think you can do that, no.
I'm just wondering, like, is he as sensitive with his friends? Is, you know what I mean? Like, his friends?
Oh, no, they got to be able to do the dozens in the locker room, Rico. There's no way he could be on a team and nobody bust him on the entire team. There's no chance.
I don't know.
No,
he
you
doesn't
have
seem
to.
Like he's a jokey kind of guy, though.
Yeah, but even with guys that don't seem like they give off that kind of jokey joke, you know, persona in public, like, the locker room is a different place. I know how Kevin Durant is with fans and with the media, but he can't be that way with his teammates. There's no chance.
I hope you're right. I hope that he's not serious like that all the time.
Can you imagine, Chris, the amount of fun? Like, if you're not, like, if you're on that team and you're, like, you're the guy who makes the jokes, like, the amount of material you could have?
Oh, with Kevin Durant? Oh, yeah.
Oh, with Kevin Durant, with, I mean, Kyrie rolling in with the walking stick. I mean, you could just have a field day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James Harden with the commercial for the tickets going into the playoffs.
It would be unlimited.
We would have killed him on that one.
Harden. Yeah, you have fun all over the place. All right, we'll get back to the Nets in a couple minutes. Let's quickly go with the three other topics, and then back to the Nets we go. We didn't spend any time on the Mets last night. Rick, do you remember, I know you do, when the Mets signed Taijuan Walker to a two-year, $20 million deal, and we were kind of celebrating. I think it happened when we were on the air, celebrating that. And people said, he's not that good. What are you so excited about? It's not that good of a signing. Uh-huh. Talk to me now. It might be the best free agent signing this offseason. That's how good he's been.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same people, too. They're like, well, why would you pick up? I mean, after what Marcus Stroman did to you guys and he opted out, I mean, just to become a free agent, why would you offer him a qualifying offer? Why would you do that? Well, this is why we would do that. This is why when Taijuan Walker's just sitting there and no one's signing him, that Sandy decided, you know what, this would be a good move. Let's not even just a one-year deal. Let's lock him up for two. I mean, the top three rotation have been lights out.
It's the best starting three in all of baseball.
I said that yesterday on the K Show, and I don't even, like, I was trying to go through my mind of three that I would put up right next to it, and I have a hard time.
Well, first of all, no one's DeGrom. So
no.
Right off the bat, the Mets have a huge advantage. But what other teams do you look at and you say it's even comparable? Forget about it's there. It's comparable. The Dodgers are comparable, right? You'd say...
Not the way that Bauer's pitching right now.
But I think Kershaw, Bauer, and Bueller right?
Yeah. No, I get where you're coming from. Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't think it's there because no one is DeGrom. No one is close to DeGrom.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, because a lot of these teams have a really good top two. But the way, I mean, between, but not even, take DeGrom out of it because he's light years ahead of everyone
Maybe
right now.
Maybe the Padres. And again, I don't think so. I'm thinking of the teams that might even be in the conversation. The Padres? Maybe.
It's supposed to be a team like Washington, but that's not the case right now. You know what
nope.
I mean? Like, their top three is supposed to be, you know, one of the better in the league, but they're not. No, I mean, Milwaukee's got a couple. They don't have three. I mean, the White Sox with Lynn and Giolito, but that's not, again, it's tough to get to the three.
The third, but that's not what the Mets have.
No, because I wouldn't, I mean, even San Diego, like with Darvish, Musgrove,
Paddock
and
Snell?
And Snell, but I don't even
I don't
put
know.
That.
You
that's not
put,
even
can
no.
Can you put Snell there?
No, I don't think you can, Dave. I think they're the best three.
Let's hear from Taijuan Walker. Raymond, you'll get ready. This is the Right Days audio I'm going to pull. Here he is on what he did last night.
Man, it was a good game, honestly. Back and forth. The guys played well. You know, we just did the little things right to win a ball game today. And I just felt good. You know, the defense was good, really good behind me. Dom made some nice plays. Not even the catch, just getting the ball in on a couple balls on the line. And then the offense put up runs, and you know, it was my job to go out there and put up shutout innings.
And he allowed the home run to Baez, and that was it.
Yep.
I think he retired. I don't know if you noticed this and how closely you watch the broadcast. I think he had retired 16 in a row. Mets pitching and retired 16 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary says on the broadcast, they've retired 16 in a row. Next pitch, base hit into left field.
That always happens. Always. But yeah, I mean, listen, what is he going to do? I mean, he has to say it. He has to bring it up.
No, I don't think anybody did anything wrong. How about this one? This is a treat of audio. He was destined to be here with the Mets. Here's Taijuan Walker.
You know, I feel like everything happens for a reason, you know, and the Mets being my only offer, I feel like it was destiny for me to be here, honestly. And everything's worked out well for everyone. And, you know, I'm actually really happy to be here. So I'm glad the Mets were my only offer.
They were the only offer this guy got was the Mets.
Yeah, which is incredible to me. I mean, here's the other thing about those top three, too, is, I mean, how athletic those three are, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all three of those guys are great athletes.
Very athletic.
Field their positions well. I mean, yeah, I'm sitting here. Look, could you even imagine? How about this? Like, here's the other thought that goes through my mind. If Steve Cohen had owned the team, there's probably a chance that you keep Wheeler, too.
Yeah,
to have Wheeler as your fourth or fifth option?
Well, I mean, you could have.
Rotation?
At some point, you're hoping that you're going to get Carrasco and Syndergaard back into this rotation.
And you're going to need that, too, because, I mean, as good as Peterson was, it's really, I mean, you've been buoyed by your top three guys.
Yeah.
You really have.
Could you imagine getting those three in a playoff series?
No.
Oh, God. You know what? And Atlanta loses again last night, so, I mean, that number.
And more good defense, too, by the way. More good defense by the Mets yesterday.
What are the Cubs doing? How do you send that? How do you send Marisnik?
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking with that one.
How?
No shot
if there's two outs, I can understand a little bit. With one out, how in the world do you send him home in that spot?
That was a bad call, Dave.
It's the old Aaron Boone in Cashman from yesterday trying to explain the Yankees having 31 outs on the bases. Just being aggressive. So that's what we're calling it now is aggressive.
Yeah, ridiculous was that, though, man? We got enough in the clubhouse, but we're going to be buyers at the deadline.
Exactly right. We got enough in the clubhouse, but we'll look to add whenever we can.
Okay.
Yeah, have to. All right, speaking of the Yankees, spend a minute on them. Get back to the Nets, 800-919-3776. And that's a big win, Chris. Trailing 5-2. Bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth and 3-1 on Bo Bichette. And the Yankees get out of Dodge with a much-needed victory last night.
No, that was a big win for the Yankees. I mean, we talked about the Toronto Blue Jays being right there, trying to climb our way up in the AL East standings. I mean, they needed to be able to find a way to get on the winning side of things. And, Dave, it was dicey early because, I mean, Jordan Montgomery in the first inning had bases loaded with no outs. And the fact that he slithered out of that thing with only giving up one earned run, I mean, it could have been a situation where you didn't even have a chance to climb back in that game. But thankfully, you know, you were able to get a great performance by your bullpen. Zach Britton didn't let things get out of hand in the eighth inning. And your lineup, especially the guys in the bottom of the order, did just enough to be able to come through and win it for you. So you feel good about that. And you got to give credit to Gary Sanchez, too. All the criticism that he's had from what he's done behind the plate to being in a slump. I mean, of late, Gary Sanchez has been really, really good at the plate. And, I mean, he got the home run. He had the double. I mean, a couple of extra base hits. Like, he was a big part of what you did offensively last night, and you needed every single thing that he brought to the table.
Dave, I'll say, too, though, I mean, just not to do with the Yankees, but thinking about what we were talking about with the top three.
Yeah.
I would have to say the closest probably right now, Milwaukee, I think.
Who is their third?
Peralta.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that, but it's not what the Mets have.
Well, no, because you got the wild card. I mean, it beats everything. You got Jacob DeGrom. I mean, it's not that separates you from everybody else. It's
and he goes today. What's his ERA? Is it 0.56 now?
Yeah. When you read we'll just go to the podcast where you read the old stats.
Well, no, because we had taped that before his last outing, so it wasn't actually accurate. But thank you for promoting the podcast yet again. You're a true friend.
Welcome aboard.
Why do you sell the podcast? Why do you get some sponsors for the podcast?
I'll get some sponsors for that podcast. Right. I watch it. Listen, I watch all of them. I just bust your chops. I like the podcast.
Story time with Rothenberg? Very
more
popular,
of you, the better. I do feel bad for Gary Sanchez, though, because he has been, I mean, offensively, he's been really good.
Yep.
But there's always, like, that moment in the game, like the pass ball yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah. He's frustrating. That's why they stick with him, though. I mean, you saw that home run.
It was a bomb.
Hit the highway, didn't it?
Yeah. And Gittens was a mash as well.
How about that for your first hit in the majors?
I know. He almost had that home run.
That's pretty cool.
That they call the home
run. They let him run the bases, which is even worse.
Had to take that away. That's as depressing as it gets, isn't it? You hit a home run, you run the bases, you're celebrating. Pal, you're back up. That wasn't a home run.
Yeah, talk about emotional, like deflated.
Right?
I just ran the bases and everything.
Oh, so depressing. DCR presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Spend a minute or two on the Islanders and then back to the Nets and Kevin Durant. You did what you came to did, Rick. You went down to Tampa.
I've done what I came to done.
Yeah, and you split that two-game set. Now you come home to the Coliseum, and I like where the Islanders are right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to get greedy in that moment, though, right? Like, you win game one, mm-hmm. You want to get greedy, take both of those games. But, I mean, Tampa is the defending Stanley Cup champs, and they're one of the best teams in hockey for a reason. Like, they don't – they don't lose back-to-back games in the postseason. You know, going into that game, the last two postseasons, I think they were 10-0 after a loss. So I expect them to bounce back and play well. Too many opportunities in the power play. At some point, that's going to bite you. I thought that that Beauvillier chance at the end of the second period was humongous.
I'll tell you what, I was nervous. Obviously rooting against the Islanders. When Tampa scored to make it 1-0, I was like, all right, you know what, here we go. We're going to roll in this one. Then it's 1-1 all the way through the second. Islanders with that chance. I was very anxious in that game last night.
Yeah, I mean, but the way the Islanders play, they always kind of put themselves in a position where they hang around long enough where, you know, something crazy could happen, and all of a sudden you look up and the score's tied.
And, like you, and you can steal it.
Exactly.
And you can steal
right.
the game.
But that's what happens when you play great defense and you got really good goaltending. Like, and give Sorokin, I give him tons of credit for jumping in the way he did and playing well. That's not an easy position to be in. That Varlamov has to be pulled and go into concussion protocol, and then eventually he comes back and he played great.
He was terrific.
It's just, I mean, Tampa was more of what we expected to see from them. Like, clearly they're a talented team, but they had more opportunities off the rush. Their stars actually showed up. I mean, that top line in the first game, the Islanders did a hell of a job shutting them down. Those guys contributed in a big way last night. Defensemen for that team finally started to score goals. So 1-1, we'll take it. And I expect the Coliseum tomorrow night to be absolutely insane.
So how you feeling? You feeling pretty good, right, after two games?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, love the fact that you know, that first line started going and that they did actually end up getting a power play goal? I didn't love that, but I mean, this is going to be a long grind them out kind of series. And that's how the Islanders are going to win the series. Is they're going to wear Tampa down? Because that's not. I mean, They played physical last night, almost like overly physical because they wanted to
just to prove a point.
To prove a point, but that's not how they prefer to play. You know what I mean? Like that's not their ideal situation to be in. That's just how the Islanders play.
Yep. So we're 1-1, and of course, Game 3 can be heard right here on 98.7 ESPN at 7:30 tomorrow night after Don finishes his round of Frisbee golf, and then he'll do the pregame on 98.7. All right, let's get back into the Nets, and of course, that conversation will continue all morning on KJZ. 800-919-3776. Dave in Jersey City. Good morning, Dave. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
The numbers are 49, 17, 10, 3, and 2. Mr. Canty, you tell me the next players that's going to put up those numbers in the NBA right now.
I mean, listen, Dave, it's Kevin Durant is right there for the best player.
And
the best,
put those
the best player.
Up, Mr. Canty.
No, I'm not saying that anybody's going to do.
Those
I'm not saying. I don't understand your point.
Why are you attacking Chris?
I'm trying to figure out what your point is.
You're a professional Super Bowl winner. You're an athlete.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to put those numbers up. Only Kevin Durant in the next 3 years will put numbers up like that.
Well, Dave, I'm not.
Luka Doncic put up numbers like that last
Dave,
season.
I'm not doing anything to take away from Kevin Durant's greatness.
Yes,
the only point.
No,
hold on, Dave. You're not going to call our show and shout me down. I'm going to speak. You spoke to
me.
Anybody
know you?
No, I'm going to speak my piece.
Oh,
right
this
now.
Is that guy. No, this is.
Yeah, and that's fine. He can have his point of view. All I was saying was if the Brooklyn Nets don't win the chip, people won't think about this game the first time they think about the 2020-2021 Nets. They won't. They will think about a team with the big three that didn't accomplish the ultimate goal. As great as that performance was. I mean, listen, in between the breaks, I was working with the guys behind the glass, and we did a little bit of research. And guess what? LeBron James, back in 2018 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics, almost dropped two games where he had 40-point triple-doubles. He came one assist shy in Game 6. First game, 42-10-12. That was game number two. And then in game number six, 46-11-9. But guess what? Nobody talks about those performances because the Cleveland Cavaliers didn't win the chip that year. Nobody talks about them. That's all I was saying. I'm not taking away from how legendary Kevin Durant was last night. I'm just saying that if they don't finish the drill, this won't be the first thing that people think about when they talk about this season for the Nets. That's all I'm saying. How is that taken away from Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I don't know why he's attacking. Was that Chris Candy garbage? Was that guy?
Chris Candy garbage.
It sounded like it.
Yeah.
It sounded like him. Yeah. Ray says it's him.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody know you.
here's the thing. I don't understand why somebody would take that as me minimizing what Kevin Durant did. We spent the majority of this show this morning waxing poetic about how great Kevin Durant's performance was when everybody was questioning whether or not he could do it by himself. After seeing what James Harden was in the first quarter, that's essentially what it was. And the dude goes out there and drops a 49-point triple-double. There's nothing that you can say. And first of all, 49 points on 16 makes, 23 shots. Like, that just shows you how incredible Kevin Durant is. I don't know if you can do or say anything to take away from that performance.
What did you do to that guy, by the way? That
he has I don't know. He must be a Patriots fan, Dave. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I don't like it either.
Luka Doncic, by the way, I mean, if we go back, Luka Doncic, the game against the Clippers where he hit the game winner, went 43-17-13. So, I mean, there's players that can put up numbers like that. We just haven't seen the 45-15-10 yet.
It really is remarkable. Adrian and Wayne, Rick's favorite spot. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, good morning, DC. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, man. I'm a huge Nets fan since back in like 2000 when I saw Jason Kidd putting up triple doubles, even against the Knicks. I'm sorry to say that, but I think Dave's going to appreciate the story a little bit more. When they were down in at halftime by like 16 points, I took a quick shower, and as soon as I got out of the shower, they started the second half. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get dressed. I'm just going to watch his game.
See?
And believe it
so
or
you
not.
So you watched it naked, didn't
that
you?
The whole comeback. Oh, just a towel on, Dave. Just a towel on.
See? Nudity inspires big moments and comebacks. I think we've hit on something here.
I don't understand why you would tempt yourself being naked. I know how handsy you get with yourself. I don't know why you would tempt it.
Would you? Come on, please. Tomorrow night, if it meant the Islanders wind up with power play goals and huge moments, you would take the clothes right off.
Yeah, I mean, I do the show almost naked. I mean, what are we talking about here?
All the conversation about nudity and watching sports or nudity and reading books on the station is just a little too much for me. I don't understand.
You want me to get naked right now? I'll get naked right now.
We have two. We've almost made it. We have 2.5 minutes.
Three
to go.
Stars naked?
We got three stars.
No.
Please don't.
Keep
please.
The t-shirt on. No.
I've never wanted to see a man naked.
Don't do
it.
What's the matter with you?
I'll take the pants off right now. Hold on.
I don't think you will.
Why would you say that, Dave? You know he will.
God.
What, he's doing it, Dave. Stop.
Yeah, but
he
won't go. I don't think
God.
He'll go.
Well. Dear God, come on, man.
Yep. Nice.
Dave, come on, Dave. He spent most of his life in locker rooms. You know he'd get naked in front of us. Stop.
Yeah, what
it.
Do you want? You hungry? You want some chicken breast? You want a tomato? What do you want? Flying
I'm
squirrel?
I'm satisfied.
Helicopter?
We got to go three stars. We got to go three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Well, thankfully, a late entry for three stars won't be Rick DiPietro getting naked on the Zoom. So, no, number three is going to go to, again, the dogs that will eat anything and puke it back up that give Dave a treat every single morning. Well, what's the status now, Dave?
I don't know. Apparently, Sherry had to give her a shower. She was rolling around in her own vomit this morning.
Oh,
yeah.
And probably enjoying every second of it.
Oh, I'm sure. Like a pig and you know what.
It'll get better. It'll get better.
Yeah, great. I can't wait for
number
that.
Number two,
it's undeniable. KD had an all-time great performance last night. It's to be celebrated. I caution going over the top because, as we've been saying all day, like if the Nets do not win the championship, it could be easily forgotten. And, again, great performance. But
that'll never be forgotten. That will never be forgotten. It might go to the back burner a little bit. That will never be forgotten.
Let's hope that we don't have to find out.
Number one.
And that pales in comparison, or at least it would have if it wasn't followed up with, things like this.
I'm the talent. After that Dante Bichette two-run single.
Dante, huh?
I'm not going to play the Steve Nash cup, but, I mean, it was an excellent performance in Stump Rothenberg. I mean, one for the ages, even better than KD's performance, but it was a little bit tainted by what happened in the following, but excellent job by
Stump
Rothenberg.
So what's the number one star?
Your
you.
Stump Rothenberg
star is my misstep?
No,
you're the number one star.
See, you all you got was the insults. I gave
all
you a star for all, for Stump Rothenberg.
So all encompassing, what I brought to the table and everything is the number one star.
Enjoy yourself.
I will take it. Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.